Hey guys, welcome to a brand new episode of Spiritual Spiral. Thank you all so much for joining us. I'm your host, Sam Davidson. Of course, joined by my good friend and co-host, Sarah Cohen. How are we doing this week, Sarah?
I've had a pretty good week, I have to say. It's been busy and chaotic, but all in the best ways. So a little momentum to keep things rolling along. And it was a nice change in pace. How about you?
I will say that this shift into Pisces season, I've really enjoyed so far. So we're recording this on March 7th and things have started moving. I'm excited for spring. I'm seeing light at the end of the tunnel. You know, this is really exciting. But what's even more exciting is our guest this week, you guys. Her name is Amy Gray Cunningham, and I got connected with her online and we just became very quick friends. So she does Akashic records and soul realignment, which is something that I had heard about, but I didn't really know about. So you've taught me so much. She gave me an amazing reading a few weeks ago. Thank you for joining us, Amy.
Thank you. Thank you for having me. It is so awesome to be here tonight.
So first, tell me a little bit about your journey into getting into all of this, because you've had a very interesting life. And I think, you know, you've maybe stumbled upon this a little later in life. When did you start doing this?
Well, I've recently started. Well, it's kind of a COVID miracle, I guess.
Yes, that's what our show is.
I've always been interested in anything spiritual. I have been for many years. So, probably about 10 years ago, I actually heard a voice tell me that I would donate a kidney. And I ended up being a perfect match to a complete stranger, which was kind of put me on my path to more of a spiritual path. And that was a whole other story.
Had you heard voices before, or like, what did that sound like?
Not really. It was kind of jarring. I was in the kitchen and I was cleaning up and my husband was in the living room and he was on Facebook. And Facebook was still kind of new. It was just getting started, I think. And Jennifer had posted and she had created a page. She was desperate. Her brother was dying and she was desperately trying to find a kidney for her brother. And she had seen somebody else post about looking for a donor, and they had actually found a donor through Facebook. So she decided to do it one night. Chuck was telling me about David, and he asked me if I knew Jennifer, remember Jennifer from high school, and I'm like, not really. He just went on to tell me about David's story, and that's when I heard it. And I just kind of was cleaning the kitchen, and I just knew right then and there that I would be the one to donate. That was in January, and July 7th is of 2011 is when we were being wheeled into surgery. So It was kind of an amazing year that year. And yeah. I actually wrote a book that kind of went and talked about the whole experience too. So
yeah, you are a really beautiful writer, by the way. I just wanted to tell you that I really love like the way that you write. It reminds me of the way I write a little bit. It's very relatable and just like conversational in a way. I really like it.
Thank you. Thank you. My favorite author is James Patterson. And he writes very short sentences, very short words, very short chapters. And I love his writing, not only because I love, you know, murder mysteries, but also because you get through the chapters and it feels like you've accomplished something when you've read like 10 chapters, but you've only gone through like 20 pages.
Totally.
No, but he's a totally awesome writer. So a lot of my writing kind of mimics him.
So how did that experience really lead you on your spiritual journey?
That really opened my eyes to, at that point, I was really starting to get into meditation. And I think that really opened kind of the floodgates, I guess you would say, to being able to hear spirit and being able to hear guidance. There was a long journey up to today, up to now, and where I'm at over the 10 years in hills and valleys, but I've always had a relationship or an understanding, I guess, with spirit. I don't know how to explain it, but I've always had a feeling or a knowing that comes over a lot of times. And the Akashic Records, I really love because it's very grounding in the physical. A lot of people think that it's real woo-woo. And it can be, I guess, if you don't understand it, but it's very relatable because it's everything and anything that you've ever done, thought, felt, said is in the Akashic Records, and anybody can access it. But a lot of people don't know how because our egos get involved and it blocks us from really being able to understand or believe. And the more that I've been in the Akashic Records and the more that I've worked in the Akashic Records, the more that I just understand, or more that I just know. And I can't explain it any other. There's just no other way to explain it. I accept that when I see a cardinal out on the yard, that is a sign from spirit coming to me saying, everything's okay, you know, and just keep moving. Or if I see the number 222, that's a sign that the angels are telling me, you know, keep moving, keep going, keep doing what you're doing. Yeah. But it's from being in the Akashic Records, I think, that has really helped that.
What are the Akashic Records? Because someone like me, that was what I asked Sam. I am completely unfamiliar with that. What is it?
It's some people call it a library. Some people call it, a place to go to, but it's not, it's everywhere. It's in everything. It's an all knowing. I call it kind of like the information superhighway. And it's like, if you were to sit down at a computer and type in a question and Google pops back an answer, it's very similar to that. There's firewalls up as well, where you can only access your information for your soul. I couldn't access your information, the only way I could access Sam's information was with her permission. So in order to get an accurate reading, you have to have the permission of that particular soul. I couldn't access Michael Jackson's records, you know, unfortunately. And if anybody tells you that they have, they're wrong, because they can't. Not unless he has come down and given actual permission for access. So, but it is when you go to sleep at night and you're in the dream world, your soul actually goes into the Akashic Records in the dream world, because you're kind of dropping off the day's events and everything that's happened. Archangel Metatron is kind of the gatekeeper of the Akashic Records, and she knows all of, he's the gatekeeper of all the knowledge for God, for Source. And it's, so I work a lot with Archangel Metatron when it comes to the Akashic Records.
I know when we first spoke, and I was asking you what it was, and then I mentioned to the group about human design, and you guys didn't know what human design was, and I was mm-hmm. explaining it, and you were like, see, that's kind of actually just a different version, in a way, of what Akashic Records do. There's different energy types. There's different, like, life. I forget what your terminology is, but like, what are the different terminologies, energy types, like what have you? And you can, like I said, use me as an example or yourself or whatever to explain it. Because what's so cool about the Akashic Records is that in a way it's so vague that it's confusing. But once you get a reading and hear it done, you're like, oh, I understand this so much better. And there's like very specific terminology that just like will click with you. And you're like, oh, I never thought of saying it like that, but that makes sense.
In the Akashic Records, I do a specific modality. It's kind of like, you know, you have general surgery in the medical field, and then you have nephrology, or you have, you know, a specific type of practice. And with the soul realignment, it's a particular type of practice that I do within the Akashic Records. And it's a way of giving a reading, and like I said, it really grounds all of the woo-woo information into the physical realm, into the realm that we live in. And part of what I do is I can actually access who you are at soul level, or who God created your soul to be when he actually created your soul at its origination, which is so cool because you can see what your soul was created to be, and then how over lifetimes the choices that you've made, whether it's through positive karmic choices or negative karmic choices, how you've strayed, quote unquote, from your original soul orientation. And there's energy centers where you have the chakras on the inside of the body. Then you have the energy centers that kind of are on the outside of the body where the soul kind of resides. It's the etheric part of your body. And each person has a primary energy center that they relate to. And like Sam is a fifth energy center. She's all about communication, which is exactly what she's doing now. She's perfect when it comes to divine communication. And she's also divine wisdom. So she inherently knows wisdom. And she is also a very good channeler when it comes to understanding from the spirit realm as well. So that was really kind of cool. And then we also go into soul groups. It's kind of like where you're born, you know, like if you're born in New York City, or you're born, you know, in the South, or you're born in Africa, or, you know, where you originate, where you, so it's kind of cool because your soul has an ethnic background, so to speak. And she is all about being a deliverer. Her soul is all about helping the collective move forward.
Everyone's soul need realigning. Like, how do you know someone needs soul realignment? And then how do you actually do that?
If you've been around for several lifetimes, you probably need soul realignment, just because we all experience separation from our oneness, from Creator. And that's the whole purpose for us being alive, is we experience our divinity through our humanity. And we experience that through making choices. And a lot of times we make negative karmic choices based off of, And I don't mean by being bad, it's not bad or good, wrong or right. And it's not wrong or right based off of society's terms. It's based off of who you are at a level. When you make negative karmic choices, it really goes against who you are at soul level. And you're really not receiving the vital force energy that you would normally receive if you were in alignment to who you are at soul level. And there's a lot of times that you pick up, for lack of a better word, or lack of debris, energetic debris that needs to be cleared. And that helps you to realign to who you are at soul level. It helps you to start making positive karmic choices. And then the more the positive karmic choices you make, the more the vital force energy you receive, the more that you give out, and then it just continues the pattern. But the biggest thing is that you become aware, and awareness is half the battle. You become aware of the choices that you're making and the actions, because everything starts at choice. Mm-hmm. There's consequence, you know, there's choice and action, and everything has a consequence based off of the choices that you make. So everybody could probably use a realignment. And how do I do that? By going into the Akashic records.
Do you see it in your mind's eye while meditating, mm-hmm. in your zone, or whatever you want to call it?
Well, it's a process, and it's hard for me to explain in detail because I actually learned how to do it through my mentor, but I use a pendulum, and that's how I know whether the answers I'm getting are correct or not correct. But the more that I do it, the more that I actually just know the answer, but I always check to make sure based off of the pendulum, which is kind of cool. And it's even more affirming when I'm actually in the reading and the client's going, yeah, that sounds just like me, or yeah, I've done that, or yeah, that's exactly what happened.
One of the things I really loved about our reading together was you did something where you kind of went through my records and you said, what happened to you between this age and this age? Something happened that kind of took you away from your soul purpose. You know, the things that happen in your life that kind of derail you and make you a little less bitter or a little more bitter, and get you away from, you know, that sweet little baby that you used to be that had no worries in the world and was always happy and kind.
Yes, you had several different patterns. There was one, do you want me, is it okay if I show?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. There was one at the age of 15-ish where you were creating negative thought patterns of doubt, mm-hmm. that created God spark damage.
That's it. God spark damage. Yes. That's what it's called. So it's the tear, essentially, the God spark damage. It's, I guess I'll let you explain, but I'll just say what I interpreted it as, because I do the homework every night too. And God spark damage is part of it. So, I mean, the way I took it, it's something that happened in your life that kind of took that God spark a little bit away, and it's not as bright, and it derailed you a little bit from the purpose that God gave you as a soul on this earth. Is that kind of correct?
God sparks are, if you think of it as when you're a baby in the womb and you're attached to your mother through the umbilical cord, a God spark, every soul is connected to the creator through their God spark. And the God spark is located right energetically around the heart chakra. And every person has a God spark that is energetically connected to source. And sometimes we, by the choices that we make, the actions that we create, the consequences are, we damage that God spark, and the separation between the two of us. Now, it's never actually ever severed, because God always allows us to make choices to come back into oneness with God. So there's not anything that you could possibly ever do that would actually sever that God spark, but you could get to the point where there's hardly any vital force energy going through that umbilical cord, so to speak. So, and at age 15, that negative thought is where you constantly are thinking over and over and over and over and over again, centered around doubt. So it's a constant thought that created that damage to that God spark.
We went through all these different years, and the thing is, everyone has their shit. Like, that's just a part of life's journey, is like going through things. But it is interesting, you know, to think about like what kind of damage that leaves on you, what kind of bitterness, you know, what kind of trepidations that causes inside of you. Something else that's really interesting in the homework too, that I really liked, was for portal ways. And how can you explain portal ways and how it sucks out your energy?
They're a very interesting phenomenon, because there's several different portal ways, but a portal way is kind of like, and I explained it to Sam, is if you're in a kitchen and you're trying to cook dinner and you're reading a recipe, and somebody else is in the living room and they've got the TV blaring or the radio, or the stereo up, or there's a band in the other room and it's just blaring the music so loud and you just can't concentrate on the recipe to cook the dinner. That is kind of like what an energetic portal way is, where you're just constant, you cannot, it's like so much static going on around you that you're having a hard time concentrating. There's subconscious portal ways, there's astral portal ways, where you're actually vividly having a memory, you're imagining another life, basically, that's so much more vivid than the life that you're currently living. And that happens quite a bit. And then there's past life portal ways, where you're actually, your subconscious is going back and forth to the past life.
Yeah, you told me some very interesting things about past lives. And so how does that affect our current life? Like, and explain how you kind of get rid of these karmic agreements, you know, negative agreements, or vows or contracts that you've had in a past life that is affecting your current life.
You make contracts with people, you make vows with people, and you can even make them in this particular lifetime as well. And it carries over into every decision that you make, and you do it actually subconsciously, sometimes consciously. But you can make bargains, you can make constraints. Constraints are really interesting because they are like energetic straitjackets almost, where you feel like you have absolutely no free will to make a decision. So you feel like your free will has been taken from you, when in all actuality, you always have a choice. There's always a choice. But when there's a constraint involved, you don't feel you have a choice. And usually that's, there could be domestic violence issues. There could be, you're being held captive. I mean, there's just many different situations. There was one with Sam. She actually had a bargain in her present life with a boss. And a bargain is actually where you make an agreement with somebody to actually help move you forward in something. Mm-hmm. But it ends up being a bad situation karmically. And
I also just want to add to that, I didn't even think about this till now. What's really funny is I just got a reading done with the guest that we had on recently, which Toni Russo. And she said, "Who's Steven?" And I'm like, "Steven's my old boss." And she was like, "He might come back around, but like, you're done with Steven." And Steven and I had this weird thing. He reminded me of my father, and it was very just like ick. And I was gonna quit, and his wife was leaving him at the same time, and he cried and begged me to like not leave him, that he couldn't handle it. So I stayed, and it was this whole thing. And then I felt like he never really followed through with anything. And I was so there for him, but it's just very interesting because Stephen came through the other day, and I was like, wow, I guess that's probably him. That might be it.
That's interesting. Yeah. I just got chills when you were talking about him. So yeah, he was one of the ones that we were talking about. And, your present life reading. So
yeah, well, in my past life though, you told me about one that was like broke my heart so intensely. It was that I was a doctor of some sort, and I had some people die on me, and I basically like stopped practicing, and everyone thought I was bad and evil that I accidentally killed these people, and that I've like really kept that guilt and those karmic things with me up until this life. Which, because even when you told me it the first time, I was like, that's so sad, I would feel so terrible. I don't like doctor shows, I don't watch doctor TV shows, I can't watch Grey's Anatomy, I can't watch The Good Doctor, it's just like I can't do it.
Wow,
that's interesting. Yeah, you were, and it was 25 lifetimes ago, you were a female doctor, a healer, and you had 4 patients that you couldn't save. And you actually created a coping mechanism to deal with the death that ran a mental body program of disempowerment at the first chakra, which meant you mentally felt disempowered of influence and importance because you couldn't, at your core, your safety and security. It was more like you were like a tribal doctor of some sort, mm-hmm. is I think what was coming through for you. And you actually created a healing contract with them where you felt responsible for their recovery, which is never okay to actually abdicate responsibility. And actually this pattern continues in your decision makings today. Those particular individuals placed a negative intention of disempowerment over you because of that vow, that healing vow. And you accepted that agreement, and they actually became attaching souls energetically. You actually accepted a negative unjustified karma, which resulted in the deaths of emotional program of disempowerment at the seventh chakra, which you have seventh chakra, your energy center is seventh chakra. So you have a lot of disempowerment feelings. And this particular lifetime, you actually took on a vow of poverty and suffering as well as a form of penitence, because of which means a vow of poverty is where you can attract money, but money kind of flows through. It never actually stays for the most part. And then suffering, a vow of suffering is you're just going to have a lifetime of suffering.
So we fixed that though. We were working on it, yes. Right? It's
yes.
You did some work.
We cleared that.
I'm doing my homework, but yeah, that just really clicked with me. And it, when you originally told me, I felt so emotional.
So what kind of homework do you have to do? What did you do, Amy, with her? And then what does Sam then do on her own to get through something like that?
I do a clearing for her in the Akashic Records. And then she actually has to accept the clearing. The clearing does not happen until she consciously accepts it. And then once she accepts the clearing, it's pretty much done. However, the ego, you know, is pretty powerful little creature. And so I give them homework to do. They give the ego a little bit of homework. And basically, it's just a reading that you do every day for 21 days. And it really just helps to solidify the clearing subconsciously, or consciously in the subconscious. And then also she comes up with some action steps, because once the clearing starts happening, you start to feel good and you get the vital force energy flowing. And so that's when you really need to start taking some action steps in the third dimension, which really grounds all the clearing. And by taking those action steps, you start the vital force energy flowing. And yeah. Then you start making good, positive karmic choices, and then the vital force energy flows, and then you start moving, and it's really, and then you start manifesting. And one of the things that I do ask before any reading is I ask what your intention is for the next 3 to 6 months. What is it that you really want to manifest? What kind of changes in your life? Because that really helps direct the reading and what it is that your soul really wants to clear, because a lot of times in order to manifest what you want to what you want, you have to clear certain negative karmic patterns, and that's really what helps focus the reading. I did a reading for another client several months ago, and she just came back for another life reading, because there was some physical symptoms that she was experiencing. That, and she was having some memories from past lives that were coming up that was actually causing some physical symptoms. So I did a reading for her, and her intention had changed. And by using this new intention and the physical symptoms, I was able to go into the records, and she had two different past lives that came up, and a couple new present life karmic patterns that came up that were related to those physical symptoms, which was actually kind of interesting. Mm-hmm. And so we did a clearing on that, and she emailed me the other day, and some of the physical symptoms have been alleviated as a result of the clearing.
And also my favorite part of the homework, I will say, is this 2-minute video that it's like I'm doing it with you every day. I watch every night. It's just kind of this like frequency sounds, and this in a way like a psychedelic looking at things like come together and come apart, like different colors and shapes. And it's so funny, every night when I do it, I like look at those shapes and colors and see it start as my soul, and how all of these outside factors are kind of changing it and changing me and bringing in new opportunities, new problems, new change, like morphing into who I'm supposed to be. So every night when I do that, because it's very hard for me to meditate, but I'm a very visual person. So that is something for me that has actually really helped me kind of see a bigger picture. And now when I do it, I look on my computer, and sometimes I back the computer up a little bit and I look at it from a further point of view. And I think about it as the big picture instead of how I'm usually focusing on this dot. Now I kind of am like, cool. Like, look at that. Like, look at how everything is one and touches and changes. And yeah, I really connect with that too every night.
Awesome. Yeah. Awesome. I liked the video. The video was always my favorite. So. Mm-hmm.
And so I want to talk a little bit about blocks in relationships with other people, because I know that's something that you focus on and a service that you offer as well. So how do blocks in relationships happen? Is it because of past life stuff, or, and how do you unblock and be able to communicate with your friend or your partner? Or sometimes is that relationship, is it just, you know, time to move on?
Well, if you think about it, relationships are how we learn who we are. By interacting with other people, that's how we learn who we are at a soul level, or an egoic level even. If you guys weren't here, I wouldn't know who I am just by looking at you, you know, because we see the differences in one another. So it's really kind of interesting how we have to have each other in order to know ourselves. Mm-hmm. And we come, I believe, to incarnate as humans in order to know ourselves as divine in these human bodies, because in heaven we're all one and we're all together. And in order to know our unique selves, we incarnate in these wonderful vessels, these wonderful bodies. But when we're working with people, we all have these, you know, egoic selves, and we create blocks. We create karmic vows, and we create restrictions, I guess, negative blocks that come up and that need to be cleared. And sometimes relationships end because we've learned what we've needed to from that particular person. And everybody that we meet is our teacher, one way or another, whether it's good, bad, or not so good, you know. And I think my greatest teachers have been the ones who I've had the greatest pain from as well, and I've learned the most from. But a lot of times I have to clear, those karmic patterns that keep coming up, because I don't want to keep making those same choices. We don't want to carry all those, that negative karmic stuff into the next relationship. So we want to clear.
Do you often find that if you struggle in a relationship with someone in this life, or not struggle or flourish, that you've known that person in a past life? Is this, you know, a recurring thing where you two need to learn a lesson, you know, from each other and clear it from the past life? Like, do you ever see that pattern?
Oh yeah. Yeah. I firmly believe that we reincarnate with people that we've been with from other past lives. My husband probably won't like this, but I think we've had many lifetimes together, because I remember the day that I met him in this lifetime. It's so funny, because I remember exactly where it was on the street. I can tell you exactly, because he was driving by, my brother and I were walking to the store, and he pulled up in this Mustang, and he had his arm hanging out the window and asked if we wanted a ride. And I got in the back seat, and I was so afraid that, you know, out of my mouth would utter, "I'm so in love with you. I want to have your babies. Please marry me." Because I immediately just fell in love with him. You know what I mean? And because I just knew. And we ended up breaking up, and we dated for several years in high school, but we ended up breaking up because I told him we were going to get married, but it took me 20 years.
I love that story, just because I always have this kind of fantasy. Well, even I just love the story of people refinding each other from when they mm-hmm. were kids. And that's like what happened with you. And I mean, you've been married to him, it's been a little over 10 years now, right?
Going on 12.
12. So mm-hmm. you guys just, you knew when you first met him, and then you kind of, you know, went your separate ways. Like, do you ever view your own Akashic records and see that like that was supposed to happen for some reason, and then for you guys to re-meet again?
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah. Yeah. I knew that. Well, and it's funny because we've always been connected over the years, when we got back together, we talked about, you know, we've always had jobs that were in the same vicinity. We've always lived in the same vicinity as one another. I mean, literally one of, and we lived in two separate apartment complexes, but from my garage, I could look into his patio. And I didn't know it until we got back together and I went to his house and I looked up, I was like, I lived there. I mean, I just moved out of there. And literally, so, and then both of our boys went to school together, rode the bus together, were friends. You know, we both worked in the same building together, different floors, but we, you know, had to have passed each other at one point or another. Charlotte's not that big of a city. That, you know, and then we've worked in other buildings together, so we've, our paths have always been very parallel. So I believe that, you know, God had us on the same plane for a while. We just had to go our separate ways for a little while in order to come back together, and which is kind of cool. So, but I believe, you know, in the Akashic Records, you can do a lot of work when it comes to relationships. And I believe that there comes a time when people deselect themselves from relationships because the relationship is no longer, it doesn't work anymore. And that's okay, you know, because it's time to move on to something else.
When you meet someone or when you form some kind of relationship with someone, there are, you will either know them for a reason, a season, or a lifetime.
It reminds me of, have you guys ever seen that movie Serendipity? Everyone loves that movie and it pisses me off so much. Like I only like the, I like the beginning and I like the ending, but the whole time they're trying to find each other. They're trying to like link up and it's just not working. It's like you and your husband kind of, you know, and you just, you, you met each other, you had that spark and then you lost each other. And then we're in the same office building. You lived so close to each other. Your kids were on the same bus and it's like how, and then finally you just like aligned up and matched up at the same time. And then we're able to make it work. I love that.
Yeah, like your soul work though, like there were probably karmic patterns that you both needed to work out or some kind of realignment that you had to do in order to be the right partner for each other, you know, like that. That's why timing is really everything, because you might not be right for someone, for one person at 20, but at 40, you're the perfect match. So,
yeah. And he's actually even said that too. He said, you wouldn't have liked me in my 30s, and you know, I probably wouldn't have. He had to grow and I had to grow, and you know, which is good. But you know, when it comes to other relationships, like I really feel like I picked my parents before I incarnated, because I knew that my father was going to, you know, he bless his heart, he's no longer here, but his life was there to help teach me, for me to grow into who I am today. And, you know, it was really hard growing up with an alcoholic father who wasn't always there. And having him as my father now, when I look back on it, I'm grateful that he was my father, because his life helped mold me into who I am today. I'm very grateful for the life that he had, because it has shown me more of who I am. I wouldn't be who I am today if it wasn't for what he went through.
Something else I wanted to talk about too is just a little bit more about the ego and how it can get in our way and how to really differentiate the ego from intuition. Because, you know, you'll hear a thought in your head, you know, don't go there. Don't call that person. Like, don't network, don't ask for the job, you know, don't just write this random person to see if they can help you, because you shouldn't and they won't. And then like, that's your ego that's coming in, like ruining things. But then there's other times it's like, I wouldn't drive tonight. And you're like, okay, I'm not going to drive tonight. So I always have such a hard time differentiating the two. What advice can you give in how to differentiate the two?
Anytime the word should, shouldn't, couldn't comes in, you always know it's the ego. Whenever you use the word should or shouldn't, couldn't, wouldn't, any words like that, that's always the ego. Whenever it's condescending, demeaning, forceful, for me, my ego is, I can usually tell when there's a certain tone. When it's one of my spirit guides, when it's my higher self, when it's inspiring, I feel it in my heart. I feel it in my heart. I hear it. And it's more of a knowing. I don't know how to explain it. Sometimes it's a voice that I hear, but it's more of a deeper knowing. If it's my ego speaking to me, I feel it in my gut. And you have to play with it to really kind of understand and know, and just try it. You know, if you hear a voice and you're not quite sure, test it and see. And then that way you know. But sometimes you have to stop and say, okay, where am I hearing this from? Where do I feel it in my body? And your body doesn't lie to you. Your body really is a trigger. Because you really feel things in your body first. Mm-hmm. Well, not first. It's actually you feel things last in your body, because spirit will get your attention through your body if it's the last place. But I feel it in my stomach, in my gut. If it's not right, if it's spirit coming through, I'll hear it here. But for me, I am fifth energy center. I am voice, and that's where I'm intuitive here. Sometimes it's images that come through for me, but normally it's more of a knowing. The more that I trust my intuition, the easier it's becoming. And it's taken a long time, and it's been a long road to get to where I'm at right now with being able to trust that. The price for the readings are $220 or $222 right now. Mm-hmm. And then for the listeners, it's a 20% discount, so it would be $174, I think. So awesome. It's 20% discount on any of the packages that I offer.
So. Okay, cool. So yeah, you guys, Amy is kind enough to offer you all a 20% discount for a soul realignment reading, which is, you know, I got it and I'm still in the process of doing my homework and doing it. I will say, like, right after I did it, I was getting so many synchronicities that, like, I get a lot of synchronicities in general, you know, 11-11, 222, all of that, but it was just like wild. Like I was watching TV, you know, and I would talk to someone on the phone. Oh, this is what happened. This is what really made me realize, wow, Amy is the real deal. I was watching a TV show, and all of a sudden, this was the day after our session, I got this feeling that I really wanted to eat an apple. I don't really eat apples very often. And so I was like, okay, whatever. So I went up and I got a couple of these small apples. I'm just like munching on these apples as I'm watching this TV show. And then all of a sudden on the show, there was a song that came on about the big apple and apples, apples, apples. It was just like talking about apples, this song that was on the show. And then people started talking about apples on the show. And I'm sitting here eating an apple, which like I very rarely do is eat apples. It's not my favorite fruit. So I was like, whoa, this is weird. And then the next day I was watching something else. I was on the phone with someone and I said some word. And then all of a sudden the television repeated it to me. And I was like, okay, this is getting weird. Like, what is happening? But I felt like it just was a sign that I was getting in alignment and I was getting messages from the universe to tell me that like, this is working. And so it was really interesting. And it also, Amy's reading with me also helped me kind of deal with some stuff in the past that I always wanted to pretend like never happened. You know, something embarrassing, like getting fired from a job where you did something wrong and you're like, okay, moving on, never happened. Let's just like put that away and pretend like it never happened. But it gave me God spark damage. And that is something that like really resonated with me. And it's something I needed to come to terms with and learn from and get over. And so I really, really, really recommend Amy. And like I said, you guys, she's a really good writer. If you guys want to read her book, she also has a blog. What's your website again, Amy?
AmyGrayCunningham.com.
Yeah, you can find her there. And then on Instagram.
Amy Gray Cunningham.
Yep. At Amy Gray Cunningham. And yeah, just like check her out. You know, she's definitely an amazing person to chat with to help you guys learn more about yourselves, about your past lives. I just want to say how grateful I am to you, Amy, just for meeting you, because I feel like in a way it kind of started this new way of thinking for me and understanding myself better. So I really appreciate you. And I would highly recommend you guys going to her, because you're just going to, it's just going to open up literally a library, which in a way is how I picture the Akashic Records. You know what I mean? Like, and don't we all love our own lives? Don't we all love telling our own stories? Like, I would love to think there's a library about me somewhere. Like, come on, that must be very interesting. But yeah,
thank of course.
You. Again, it's like it's the best book ever, or like 10 million books, you know, who knows how many are in there. Well, thank you. Thank you again so much. And everyone, please make sure to follow us at Spiritual Spiral Show on Instagram. And you can find myself, Sam Davidson, at SamD43, Sari Cohen at The Savvy Scribbler. We love some reviews that are coming in. We just got a new one, and people that are catching up. If you give us a review and you DM us and say you would like to maybe be featured on our show one time for getting a reading from one of our guests, because this is something we wanted to do for you a while ago, but it's taken a minute for people to catch up, but people are like, yeah, like put me on the list. So you know what? Like if you do that, you're on the list. We have so many amazing light workers and mediums. And if I feel like it's the right week and the right fit to bring one of you on, you guys are going to be in the mix. And I promise you at some point you will get a reading. So thank you all so much. And we'll see you next week. Bye.